Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is José Cravo, and I'm the Head of IR at Neinor Homes. We are here today with Borja García-Egotxeaga, our CEO, and Jordi Argemí, our Deputy CEO and CFO. During today's call, we will present annual results for the fiscal year 2020. The presentation is divided in five sections. First, we will go through FY 2020 results. Then we will provide an update on the company strategy. After, we will analyze the performance of our development and rental businesses. Lastly, we will head into conclusions and Q&A. With this, I'll leave the word to our CEO, Borja García-Egotxeaga.
Thank you, José. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you very much once again for your time. I would like to start with a thank you message to all our Neinor employees, our suppliers, and also a special thanks to our clients and to every stakeholder that has made it possible for us to achieve these outstanding results in a very difficult year. Let's move, please, to slide number five, where I will concentrate on three key messages. First, I took over the control of this company 2 years ago in March 2019, and I always committed to achieve and exceed all your expectations. Today, I am proud of what this company has achieved, even with a pandemic in the middle. We did 110 million euros adjusted EBITDA, beating our pre-COVID guidance by 10%. We are always prudent, and we finished the year with a very conservative balance sheet of just 7% loan-to-value. We announced our first dividend payment of 40 million euros that is due next week. Second message on our investment strategy. During 2018 to 2020, we were challenged by many investors and analysts asking us to replenish land bank and to provide visibility. Despite that, we took the decision to reduce acquisitions because we felt market was overheated. That decision proved to be correct, as we see plenty of good opportunities now, and these opportunities find us in the best possible situation. We have very low leverage, we have more than 250 million euros firepower, and we have plenty of cash flow visibility from the upcoming deliveries of 2021 and 2022. We already made the first move. Quabit is a very accretive transaction and creates plenty of value for our shareholders. This is just the beginning. As mentioned, we see plenty of good opportunities out there. Third, and also very important, is our rental platform. In early 2020, we launched Neinor Rental in what we believed was a tremendous opportunity. We launched with the objective to reach 5,000 units in 5 years. Today, we are even more optimistic about this platform as we see the PRS sector becoming very relevant after the pandemic. Just 1 year later, we have acquired the best operating platform with more than 2,500 units under management. We also grew up PropCo as we acquired a value-add portfolio of 400 units and a pipeline of 2,700 units that will be delivered over the next coming years. Later in this presentation, we will give you more details of this new business unit. With this, I give now the word to Jordi to analyze the full year 2020 financial results.
Thank you, Borja. Honestly, I think the numbers speak for themselves. We have exceeded in 2020 the EBITDA guidance by 10%. This means from 100 to 110 million, but also the market consensus by around 20%, since it stood at 95 million. There are two factors that explain the result. One is that we have reached the gross margin guided of 26% for the developer business, even with a bankruptcy of some construction companies, but also with a full lockdown that we all lived in April. And the other one is the OPEX optimization. We have been able to decrease our OPEX by 3% compared to last year, even though our revenue line has increased by almost 20%. Today, we have a very optimized company, and obviously, this is a clear lever for the future. Apart from the P&L, this company has generated 120 million of net cash flow that has allowed Neinor to reduce the net debt adjusted down to 123 million. This means a loan-to-value of 7%, that combined with a strong cash position of 270 million, we are in an excellent position to take advantage of the investment opportunities that will come during 2021, being Quabit and also Sarves, two of them. Having said all this, the good result is not only 2020, it's the trend of this company, since we have shown over the last 3 years a compounded EBITDA growth of 40%, having more than 100 million 2 years in a row. And as a result of it, we are leading the profitability in the developer sector of Spain.
Thank you, Jordi. Now let's move, please, to slide number 8 to give you an update on Neinor's company strategy. As you know, until 2020, Neinor had one core business, the development, that was complemented by the servicing contract with CaixaBank. Last year, we decided to launch Neinor Rental, and from that point onwards, we see Neinor as a sum of three parts. Three business lines within the same asset class, the residential. Our core business is still development, but we are looking to grow our rental platform and services division to add a more stable and recurrent source of income that should act as an anchor to Neinor's value. Now please follow me to slide number 9 to explain our land acquisition strategy. To fit both lines, rental and development, it is necessary to follow a smart land acquisition strategy through the cycles. In 2021, we are in the best land market of the past 4 or 5 years, and we reiterate our view that we are currently in a buyer's market with a growing number of opportunities to buy quality land at attractive prices. Furthermore, since we didn't buy for a period of almost 2 years, we get to this point with a strong balance sheet and high cash flow generation perspectives from the deliveries that will take place over the next 2 years. At this stage, we are looking at a pipeline of more than 500 million euros, including both organic and inorganic opportunities. We now move to slide number 10. And here we want to remark that the acquisition of Quabit has a highly complementary geographical profile to Neinor. We have increased our exposure to Madrid through the Corredor del Henares, and we have reinforced our exposure to Malaga and Valencia. Moreover, with Quabit absorption, we have increased our exposure to strategic land at a very competitive price that is key for margins to be sustainable in the long run. And now we are going to focus on the two main business lines, development and rental. So please follow me to the slide number 12 to start with the development line. For this line, we have launched 7,500 units, and more than 5,500 units are currently under construction and finished product. And this is excluding rental. This means that all the units to be delivered in this year, 2021, and next year, 2022, are under construction today. The pre-sales level today for the deliveries of 21 is around 70%, and for 22, around 40%, what is fully aligned also with our planification. So now let's move to slide number 13 to talk a little bit more about commercialization. Despite COVID, we were able to grow the number of leads versus 2019 by nearly 10%. Even though we had more leads, visits fell by 7% as part of the year lockdown. But even though we sold 2% more than in 2019. So now let's move to slide number 14. At a macro level, we continue to see an imbalance between demand and supply in the top 6 regions of Spain where Neinor is active. In 2020 alone, on the top 6 regions of Neinor, there was a housing production deficit of nearly 65,000 units. Due to COVID, we are seeing a decrease in new supply, and therefore we expect this shortage of supply to increase further in 2021. Prices reflect the shortage of supply environment and have been quite resilient post-COVID, especially for new product. And now I pass again the word to Jordi that he will comment on the rental business.
Excellent. On section 4 we have the rental business. Last year we strategically decided to be the first movers of the build-to-rent business with a portfolio of 1,200 units and with a medium-term target of 5,000 units. Only 12 months later, we have been able to have a portfolio of more than 3,000 units, and we are also managing more than 2,500 units from third parties. And all this combined with the excellent performance shown in 2020 and with a pandemic in the middle. On geographic terms, our strategy is to have a relevant exposure to the center region, and as you can see in this slide, the existing asset base has more than 70% exposure in that region. On top of it, our strategy was not only to have a portfolio, but also to control the whole value chain of the rental business, since it allows us to control and optimize the yields of this business. That's why we acquired Renta Garantizada, being now our operating company. And the real question is, why we do this? Firstly, because in our view, this is one of the most attractive investment opportunity in the residential sector, where there is a lack of core PRS product, and Neinor is building this product. And secondly, because it will maximize the returns for our shareholders, from the 5% net yields at which we believe we can produce new product to the market yields of 3 to 3.5%. There is a clear yield compression potential that will drive NAV growth to our shareholders. This has been perceived now by the market in Spain, with a lot of investors trying to enter this business. But access to financing is key, and Neinor has been the only player in Spain with a capacity to achieve it. If we move to slide 17, you will see our delivery plan for the rental business line. Basically, in the next 3 years, we expect to deliver more than 1,200 units for the rental platform, and we will add additional 400 units that are already under operation. To do so, Neinor has already secured construction CapEx financing, and we should start works on an additional 700 units until the end of 2021. On top of this, Neinor has an additional portfolio of 1,500 units that will come from Quabit, and has been assumed to be delivered post-2023. So in total, more than 3,000 units that will generate a stabilized GRI of 38 million. In slide 18, we have the zoom into the 400 units of the current operating portfolio, which is Sardes, the portfolio acquisition we did 1 month ago. Why did we buy this operating portfolio? Because we get a net yield on cost that is equivalent to what we target in our development pipeline. And this without assuming construction risk and tenant risk, since these units are already finished and rented. The WALT of the portfolio is only 2 years, and the year-to-date contract renewals have been 16% in a like-for-like basis. ERMB of the portfolio is currently at 8 euros per square meter a month, and market ERV is 10.5 euros, which shows the reversionary potential Neinor has ahead by filling up vacancy and capturing up the rental increase. All in all, this acquisition is a value-add acquisition for Neinor that we bought at an attractive price, and now with the operating company, we will work to increase both GRI and also net operating income. And finally, in slide number 19, we have further detail on the development pipeline. You can see specifics, location per location, but the global photo is more than 2,700 units that will generate 35 million of GRI with a gross yield ranging 6 and 7%, a net yield of around 5% with a clear concentration in the center region.
Thank you, Jordi. Please now follow me to slide number 21. To explain how our ESG strategy fits into the long-term goals of the company. Our environmental commitment is based on two simple principles. On one hand, we strive to reduce as much as possible the environmental impact of our construction activity. On the other hand, when we design the product for our clients, we put environmental protection as a main target from the very beginning of the project. And evidence of this is the fact that Neinor is the developer in Spain with the highest share of BREEAM certifications. However, we are not only concerned about the environment, we are also conscious of the housing shortage problem that exists in Spain and that we have mentioned in our development business section, where young people struggle to buy or to rent a house. In this regard, we are working on collaborative solutions with regional governments to solve this problem. And of course, we do all this applying the best governance practices. In recognition of these efforts, this week, Sustainalytics published its ESG risk assessment of Neinor, in which we come out number one in residential developer in Spain, with a 10.5 score. And now let's move to the last slide for a 2021 outlook. Now that we move to the conclusions, my first comments are on the Quabit absorption. The general shareholders meeting of the companies is expected to take place in March 31st. So the final approval should be received during the first half of 2021. Second important message is on our guidance. We reiterate our pre-COVID guidance target of €150 million EBITDA, as we feel comfortable and have very strong visibility on our business for the upcoming years. And finally, as I always say, shareholder remuneration is our key priority. Along this line, we are going to pay our first dividend next week of €40 million and target to generate €50 million dividend from our 2021 business year. Thank you very much for your time, and I give the word back to Jose for the Q&A.
Thank you, Borja. So now we move to the Q&A session. I would encourage everyone connected to the webcast to submit the questions through the platform. And in the meantime, I hand over the call to the operator.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Your first question comes from the line of Fernando Abril from Alantra. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for the presentation. I have three questions, if I may. First, on the guidance for 2021, a little bit more clarification if it includes Quabit on the delivery units, if it's and also on the EBITDA, any contribution from Quabit, and then on the net debt EBITDA. Again, so there are a lot of moving parts because you are planning for a land capex of 150, then you are adding the Quabit's debt. So I don't know if it's all of them is included in that leverage guidance, and what could be the cash flow contribution from Quabit in 2021. Then second question is on the P&L. So you've booked a provision of about 10 million in the quarter, if I'm not wrong. So any comment on it, and also 6.5 million in other revenues. I don't know where this comes from. Is it a land sale or anything that could be recurrent from now on? And then third question is on the pre-sales activity, and if you can give us some outlook for 2021 and how do you see demand trends. Thank you very much.
Okay, I try to take the first three questions, and then Marie will take the last one, I guess. Regarding your first question, which is the guidance, I would say several concepts and messages here. The first one is that we keep the guidance pre-COVID, and you know that this means that we should increase compared to this year by 30-40% versus 110 million euros, which is relevant. Regarding your point of Quabit, we believe that will not contribute, or at least will be very limited, the contribution at the EBITDA level. for this 2021. So it's included, but not impact. Yes, at cash flow. And this, I try to answer to your second point, no? Regarding the net debt EBITDA guidance of 2.5 times, it includes the debt, but obviously Quabit, we expect Quabit to generate a lot of cash, and this cash would imply this reduction in the net debt EBITDA that we are projecting, no? Regarding your third question, regarding on provisions of almost 10 million euros, which is similar to the one that we had in 2019. Basically, I mean, we can give you more details, no? 2 million euros roughly comes from growth. This means basically, no, the transaction of Quabit and Sardes and Renta Garantizada mainly. 1 million euros comes from the incentive plan that has been recorded, but it will not be paid because it finished, no, in September last year. So it's pure accounting. It's not real cost for us. Then we have another 3 million euros of provision, voluntary provision for post-sale, because there has been some bankruptcies in some of the construction companies in some developments. So we had less visibility, and we wanted to be very prudent with that, and we put additional provision. Hopefully, the cost will not be there during 2021. And finally, there is 2 million euros voluntary impairment based on the service valuation. This should be the split, answering your third question. And now, if we jump to the pre-sales activity, I give the word to Mario.
Good. Well, regarding pre-sales on 2020, you have seen the circa 1,500 units that it's an increase versus 2019, and having in mind all what we have lived during 2020, we are very comfortable about the demand strength of our product. Regarding 2021, we have seen in these first months the same trend with resilient demand and increasing type of buyers coming from the city centers to the type of product that we are delivering in the outskirts with big terrace and common areas. So we feel that the trends for 2021 would be in that line of 2020.
Okay, thank you. Just two quick follow-ups. Jordi, on the deliveries that you've mentioned, this is all built to sell, or you're including 150 that you will deliver for your rental platform? And then another follow-up is the other revenue. Sorry, if maybe I don't know if you've mentioned it, but I could miss it.
Sorry. Yeah. I miss your 6 million. Sorry. this split is very internal. This refers to development. So you should sum the 6 million euros in the development business line. That's why you will get a 26% gross margin considering this part. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
And regarding the guidance, no, rental is on top of.
Okay, so it's 2.4 for build to sell, no?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Oliver Isaac from Credit Suisse. Your line is open, please ask your question.
Hi, yes. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for taking my questions. Firstly, I was wondering if you could give us a bit more detail around your confidence in the 2021 delivery target, please, and particularly on the stage of WIP development. I noticed you haven't given us the sort of the usual detailed split that you usually give, so that would be helpful, please. And then just secondly, on your OPEX control, you obviously showed some very good OPEX reduction this year. Should we think about that as a one-time thing, or do you think you'll be able to maybe hold on to some of those OPEX savings going forward? And then lastly, maybe a bit more high level, you've obviously mentioned you've got a significant amount of firepower, and you've obviously made some big changes to the business and some acquisitions over the last 12 months. Do you sort of look at the business now and think that you're happy with how it's set up, or do you see other opportunities you would like to pursue potentially going forward? Thank you very much.
Okay, regarding your first question about a little bit more detail in the construction for this year 2021, we must say that all the construction plan that we have is running fully aligned with the planification that we have for these constructions. Basically, we see that the last units of construction will be finished by the end of summer, and then we will have, as usual, 2 or 3 months for the delivery process, that, as you know, is complex because it requires a lot of documentation. But in general terms, the distribution of deliveries by percentage this year is a little bit more easy than what it was during last year. But since we are also increasing the units that we are going to deliver, we will still go for the last quarter of the year with a whole bunch of deliveries, something usual in our business, and that most likely will be always the same. And George will take the second question.
Yeah, I take the question regarding the OPEX. Regarding Neynor, this optimization in the OPEX will be recurrent. It's not a one-off. Obviously, in 2021, we will have the impact of COVID, so we will have more time also to optimize the OPEX coming from COVID. No? But in a standalone basis, let's say, this is recurrent, and this actually is a good lever for us in the coming years in terms of profitability.
Okay, and I take the third one regarding the investment strategy. So we are comfortable with what we have done in the last 3-4 months. So we did an opportunistic deal with Quavit that fulfills with the global land bank replenishment. We did the opportunistic deal of Sardes that accelerate the rental platform. We also did 2 core deals in Madrid and Valencia. So in general terms, the lines for 2021 could be in the same strategy. We will continue looking at opportunistic deals from portfolios, and even if there is the opportunity, accretive deals on PRS, and we would have a strong focus on opportunities of core or prime areas, both in strategic and fully permitted, coming from the more and more distressed situation from the sellers.
Very helpful. Thank you very much.
No question at this time, but once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and 1.
Okay, operator, so we can move to the webcast platform.
No question at this time. Please continue, sir.
Okay, perfect. So we have here one question from the webcast platform on pre-sales. So if we could give the breakdown between gross and net pre-sales for the fourth quarter of 2020 with a comparison with 2019.
Yes, we did close to 400 in the last quarter, and in 2019 it was more or less in line. We feel that trend will be the same in the first quarter of 2021.
Going again to another question from a different investor. If there is the possibility to renew the servicing contract with Cuchabank that expires in 2022?
Yeah, well, in fact, we are working already in the renewal of this contract. There will be a competitive process, of course, because for the governance of the bank, this is a duty. We will go to this public concurso. And we feel quite confident that we'll be able to renew this this contract by Q3 of this year.
Then there is one more or two more questions regarding investments. The first one is on the 11,000 units land pipeline that we see right now. If we could elaborate further on it.
Yes, I take this one. In the pipeline, well, you know that the three business lines that we commented in the other question, so basically can do the breakdown on which are the units in each of the packets. We have 50% of that 11,000 units in portfolios or opportunistic deals coming from companies and portfolios. 25% it's fully permitted in that prime areas that Neinor has their implementation, and 25% regarding the strategic lands that we are working on.
Okay, and then a follow-up question to this one. What are our thoughts on further moves on consolidation in the sector?
Well, this is real difficult to describe today. Of course, we see movements between the companies, but it's very difficult to know if there will be more consolidation or not during this year. Everyone is talking about this. We'll have to wait and see. Neinor will be always looking for the good opportunities out there in the market, so we are also focusing on that.
Okay, we have here one last question. Okay, it comes from an investor that is asking, you know, about our guidance, our capex, land capex guidance for 2021 of 150 million euros. Considering the amount of land that we acquired that we will acquire with the deal or the merger with Quabit, why do we think that we still need to buy more land?
Well, Neinor is a developer, and as we have said, we have to feed our lines for development and also for rental. We'll keep looking, as we said, for the good opportunities in the market. The truth is that we have 150 million euros cash to find with the opportunities. And if we find those opportunities, creative opportunities, no matter if it's final land or still land with some urbanistic milestones to achieve, we'll go for it.
Okay, we have no further questions in the webcast. So if there are also no further questions in the coming from the phone line, we should finish the conference call of full year 2020 results. Hand over to you, operator.